repose our love based on our sovereignty. We make a choice. And in making choice means we have options. So we have a opportunity to access our lower self or higher self. We have an opportunity to say yes to the Lord, or we have an opportunity to procrastinate. Saying no to the Lord doesn't mean that God disappears. Denying the love of the Lord doesn't mean that the Supreme stops loving us. It just means that we temporarily turn our back. We temporarily become preoccupied. And so, Supreme has arranged that those who temporarily want to turn their back on His eternal associates and pastimes, that He gives us an arena to do that. And therefore, the material bodies and the material universes are literally arenas where we can have the opportunity of playing God. And once we are finished with our playing, then we can really become that which is really our real divinity, where we are in oneness with God, in association, and in union. So the material body and material worlds, and the whole process of separation, and the whole idea of challenge, is like the Lord sending His agent, is in one sense Satan is an agent of God, to see what are we wanting now. Are we ready to give up our insanity and come back? Or are we still wanting the separation? And so Satan is just like the teacher giving the test. The teacher doesn't actually want to fail the student. But the teacher has to present a certain type of test for qualifying. So this Satan, or this Maya, or this sin, or this illusion, is also under God, because if Satan is not under God, then it means that this idea of the Godhead cannot be total, that something is outside of God, means that there cannot be God. And so therefore, Satan has a particular type of work, like an executioner, still working under a particular regime, but having a certain kind of duty. So the Satan is there to see, do you want still false proprietorship and separation, or do you want union and full love? And so the different temptations are there to see how much we are giving up our insanity. And so most people still hang on to the insanity, because they have, as we were mentioning, so much impacting upon their consciousness that causes them to think that while they're insane, that they're okay. And when you have a group and massive of insane people, they have an interesting way of reinforcing themselves. And that's why when these great sons of God come in, these insane people, even though they come to help to get them out, they crucify them, and they assassinate them, and they try to eliminate them. That's the degree of the insanity. And that's the degree of God's love, that He keeps sending them anyway, even knowing that He's sending His servants into environments where people are basically maintained their insanity.
My question is, you have a book called Spiritual Warrior, and I'm just assuming you are a spiritual warrior, and you were discussing earlier previous spiritual warriors in this life that were able to bilocate or were healers. And my question for you is, as a leader and as a spiritual warrior, do you not also possess those same gifts or spiritual development? And if so, when do you have the opportunity to apply those techniques of healing or to deliver your message when you're not physically present through your spirit or astral projection?
Not only those few who I mentioned, but every one of us has these abilities. The soul itself is full of unusual expressions and activities, but it is to the degree that our physical body is dominant, that it may interfere. Now, when one tries to dedicate themselves more and more to the mission of the Lord, then according to their mission, they are given certain spiritual technologies, weaponry, abilities to do the work. Any true messenger that is highly spiritually evolved will be used in very, very dynamic ways, because it means that person is less and less, as we said earlier, interfering. When just normal things are only happening, then that is a sign that we're working based on our own finances, intelligence, resources, etc. But when things are happening beyond our normal capacity, that is a sign that some higher input is happening and beginning to engulf the person or beginning to affect others. It's a little late, and we want a short time to be able to sign a few books. We said some of you have been here now, I guess over 12 hours when you first came in the morning, and your participation. And also, we can only digest so much at one time. For me, it's not a problem, but let you digest what you have, and next time we meet, we can take another meal. So, who would like to ask? We'll take maybe two more questions, and then we stop. Two short questions.
Let me.
I must say that I'm just so thankful and so grateful to have had your presence here at Galbraith, and for what we have been studying with Reverend Massey, and he has helped us to have been asking and needing. And I'm just glad that when I met you about 10 years ago, the questions that I'm hearing now, I don't have to ask anymore. And when I first came to Galbraith and would pray, and I would pray and say, Allah, Buddha, Krishna, Christ, and go on with some of the deities, and then come to Jesus, and people say, well, why would you say that before you would say Jesus? But I have learned through your teaching that chanting the names of God and invoking those precious spirits around us helps us, and it helps to combat. And I just thank you for that. And I want to thank you publicly. And just, did we have a beautiful session today? Thank you.
So I think this is the nice time for us to end. It's a wonderful sandwich. We start off with Reverend Massey, Mr. Reverend Massey, and we end with Mrs. Reverend Massey. This is real teamship. And I think you're all quite blessed to be able to have such teachers and preachers who can be able to give you such wonderful information, that their own relationship is so wonderful. They've come together to serve God. They've dedicated their lives in this particular way. And that's why wherever they find whatever church, we notice that they're in, that it takes on a special quality. Spiritual life is always, we started off earlier, something that should be progressing. When we are really learning, we realize we're always students. And as we are hungry to know more and more, then the Lord will constantly feed us. So we thank you for this opportunity to be with you. I'm happy. You know, every author likes to know the people who are reading his books. The one you're reading now, it's being translated into several languages. And Russian is one of the newest languages. That's why I'm going to Russia now. I'll be giving a seminar to about 2,000 people for a couple of days. And then I'll go off to South Africa, and later to Mexico, to Argentina, to Australia, etc. But still, I was telling you about Reverend Massey downstairs.
Your office, up there, but downstairs.
In the office, okay. And I was mentioning that for so many years, I was working in Eastern Europe. 15 years or so, I lived in Africa. And by the Lord's arrangement, I'm having a chance now to be in America more. And I was just saying it's a little special, because where we do take birth, there's some special reason for that. One could take birth in many different bodies and different parts of the world and even different universes. But where a person takes birth means that that is a special aspect of the lesson that they are to learn or the lessons that they are to teach. So I'm happy that I'm having a chance to come back into America more often. And I plan in the next couple of years to become much more involved in trying to make some impact on what is going on in the spiritual communities in America. My interest is to try in reaching people who are trying to go deeper, where they want to see how religion is a vehicle to be able to become like Jesus. In other words, Jesus is letting us know that we are coming from the same connection, and that it's not just a matter of He performing for us or the great teachers, but it's a matter of that we can gain our sense of divinity by humility and by compassion and by love. So we encourage you that in all the things that you do, keep taking inventory to look at what is in the interior that needs to be worked on. And I want to leave you with a particular message so that we have a shift in consciousness. We like you when you go home tonight, and maybe even while you're in the car driving, but at least spend 10 or 15 minutes in some reflective moments in thinking about this. Just particularly look at three areas in your life that you find are blocks, stagnations to your spiritual growth. Just be honest with yourself. You know the areas that you need to work on. If it's smoking, if it's drinking, if it's not being honest in your relationship with your husband, your wife, not being a proper parent, if it's being too much even bothered by financial considerations, if that's becoming your God, anything we put before God becomes idol. Whether it's our house, our car, our computer, or our profession, that we're to put nothing before God. So if you can just look a little closer at three things in your life that you're finding are the biggest obstacles. And you give yourself 3 months to eradicate those things. That three areas that you find are most disturbing for your spiritual growth. And as practically a daily reflection, you tune in to see how you're becoming freed of that particular problem. Take whatever help is needed from your association, peer association, particularly take from the Reverend Massey's and the other reverends to help you. And the reverends ourselves, we talk amongst ourselves to try to see how we can create greater sense of love and honesty by trying to help each other. And then you start marking off as you become free of each of these issues. And give yourself one month for each issue, and finish earlier if you can to mark it off. But in 3 months' time, make a vow that you're going to eliminate such inappropriate things in your life, so that at this very difficult but wonderful time on the planet, that we can go deeper to remove what is causing us not to experience more of God's love. And in this way, we will surely find our lives to be more exciting, more exhilarating, and we will have more protection, because we'll draw more higher presence and protection. And we'll be able, as our wonderful lady was saying, she's come back 3 different times, we'll be able to have a greater understanding of why we're here. And when we leave this body, we can be able to not have to come back into material bodies, into material universe. But this kind of spiritual greed, this kind of spiritual desperation and destitution, then Lord, who's in the heart, the Holy Ghost, as a Paramatma, the super soul, He will notice. And we started off by our discussion of this nature, that it's amazing how many people realize how serious these times are, but they act in such a ridiculous and sinful way and think that they can get away with it. So we want to realize how serious these times are, and we want to focus in a very devotional way and know that the Lord is aware and is receiving our concern and our prayers, and has already made arrangements for reclaiming us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Certainly, I join my wife in expressing our gratitude to our Swami and to the Institute for this glorious occasion that is now ours to enjoy forever.